Well, if you're here with us today, and maybe you're new here, we are on a journey called The Story. And The Story is a church-wide program put together by Zondervan and actually one of the big churches out in Texas a few years ago. They put together 31 sequential stories from the Bible and put them together and they make it read like a novel. And we have joined together. This is week number 7 of The Story, and we've been looking at this each week, and it's all the way through 31, and that'll take us almost to Thanksgiving. So if you're here today, you've kind of jumped in at an interesting point, because today the battle begins. You know, creation, the flood, Abraham, the nation, hundreds of years in Egypt being slaves. Now God has led his people out of Egypt. And last week we talked about the 40 years. They were at Kadesh. They wandered for 40 years, and that generation all died. And now we're back at Kadesh, and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land under the direction of Joshua. Now let me make just a few points here that'll kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about today. Have you ever faced an overwhelming challenge? I remember years ago when I was in high school and we went to play Gate City, Virginia in football. I remember I was a sophomore in high school, and as we drove onto the property of Gate City High School, they were the defending state champions. You know, they had this reputation of being really well coached and really mean and nasty and tenacious. And I remember as a young 10th grader being on the bus, and as we drove in, their players were standing defiantly as we drove on the property. I remember our coach got us in the locker room and he gave us that pep talk that anybody's ever heard when you play high school sports. Said, listen guys, they're no different than you are. You know, they put their pants on one leg at a time just like you do. Now, I'll never forget his next line. He said, now, their pants are a lot bigger than yours. And of course, they destroyed us that night. I kind of think about that when I started reading this story, because here the children of Israel, this new nation, these people that were led so miraculously by God, were face to face with an overwhelming challenge. Have you ever been in a place like that? You have one of two things you can either do. You can confront that challenge or you can retreat. In other words, you can believe that you're ready for what's ahead. You can believe that God has prepared you for what's ahead. You can believe that you are fortified and that you have everything that you need for victory. Or you can run and hide because you're afraid of what lies ahead. Now, it's interesting because the promise that God had given to Abraham some 600 years before was now coming to pass. I don't mean the promise where God said that I'm going to give you a son. I'm talking about the promise where God said I'm going to bless every nation under heaven because of you. Because now the time had come when that promise spoken some 600 years before was about to come true. The only problem was that they had a big problem. Not just a small problem, but they had a big problem. There were wicked people already living in the land. Some of them were recognized even as giants. And there was a lot of fear because of that. And God told them to go in and wipe all these people out. And by the way, let me just address this now. Later on in the message this morning, I'm gonna answer the question that everybody always has. Why'd God kill everybody? Why did God give the command to this new nation that they're to go in and they're not to let anybody live? Why did he do that? Okay, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let's just say right here that they were confronted with this overwhelming challenge. They could either confront or retreat, but they were living out the promise that God had given to Abraham 600 years before. And the problem was that these people were giants in the land, and they were exceedingly wicked. That's why I think when you come to this part of the story that you see four times. You see four times God saying the same thing to Joshua. Page 89 of the story. He says there in the third or fourth sentence, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That had to be an extremely comforting thought as Joshua heard those words. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Four times he uses that phrase in addressing Joshua at this particular time. He says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, do you hear what I'm saying to you? Be strong and courageous. Because God knew that that's what Joshua needed more than anything else. Why? Because now is a great time of challenge. And by the way, they put their pants on every morning just like you do, Joshua. But yes, they are bigger. See, Joshua needed to know above every other truth was the truth that God was with him. Now, I think, and Randy Frazee actually does a great job with this in talking about how they needed three things to be successful. How these people, as the battle was beginning, as they were going into the land and going to take the land that God had given to them, they needed three things to be successful. And by the way, I think it's the same things that we need today. The same three things that they needed in abundance then are the same things that you and I need today. As they faced an overwhelming challenge then, we face an overwhelming challenge today. As they could confront or retreat, we can confront or retreat. The promise that God made to Abraham 600 years before this time is the same promise that God has given to us today. And the big problem that they had then is the same problem that we have today, wickedness in the land. And I think if we just hear the still small voice of God, we will hear him say over and over and over again, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. The same things that they needed for success are the things that we need today. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, they needed to be people of the book. They needed to believe the word of God. They needed to be obedient to what God had said to them. I think it's very easy to look at this big overview that we're looking at in the story, and we can be so drawn to one particular part of the story that we fail to see the overall picture. For example, when God sent them into Jericho and they defeated the city of Jericho and they marched around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, the priest led them and the trumpets led them and the ark led them, and they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down, and they went in and they overtook the city and they defeated the people, and they did exactly what God had told them to do. Except one little thing. Achan, a man named Achan, thought that he could sneak a piece of the plunder and keep it as his own. And even though God was so clear as to how they were to handle all of the plunder of the battle, Achan thought nobody will miss one little piece. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 7. And as you know, that sin came out after they were thoroughly routed in their next battle. And then there's an interesting thing that we see in Joshua chapter 8 in verse 34. I have it here for you. Look at this. It says, afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded them that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Now get a picture of this, folks, okay? God told them what to do, how to act, how to react. They disobeyed. Achan disobeyed. And then after it was over, can you just see the picture? What he's saying is that Joshua said, okay, everybody gather around. No, yes, you have to bring your kids. Yeah. Matter of fact, bring that guy that's living next to you that's a foreigner in the land. Bring him too. I want everybody here. Nobody's exempt. He gets all the people together, and he doesn't read them a verse or selected verses. It says here that he read the entire word of God. All of the words that had been written down, all of the words, all of the teachings of Moses, he read to all the people. Why? Because they need to be a people of the book. They need to be obedient to God. And our next victory or our next battle in some ways depends on our willingness to be obedient to the book. You know, I love the tradition of our independent church, Christian church, Churches of Christ. You know, years ago in the early 1800s, one of the slogans that some of the folks that founded our place in church history here, he said, where the Bible speaks, we speak, and where the Bible's silent, we're silent. What's he saying? People the book. He always said that, you know, we want Bible examples for the things that we hold sacred and true today. People the book. Let me tell you something, folks. If you are a person of the book, if you read it and study it and you don't veer to the right or to the left and you stay on the path that is described in the book, that is when success will come. Secondly, he says that we need to be a people of prayer. That we need to be a people of prayer. I think it's interesting to note that before they set out in battle, there was always a conversation with God. God was saying, you know what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. If you read the story this week, you'll see a number of times when they went against this king in this region or that king in another region. And it talks about how at one point the sun stopped and how at another point the enemy was confused. And God used these things to help bring about a victory for them. But there was always this conversation. There was always this back and forth with God. God saying, I'm going to be with you. And the people saying to God, we're going to obey you. You see, folks, that's a good lesson for me and you. Talk to me. There's another instance in the book here that's really interesting where it talks about how that the Ark of the Covenant went before them. How the Ark of the Covenant always preceded the nation, preceded the army. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was what? It was an illustration. It was the place of God's presence. The Ark had the cherubim there that signified the place in the Holy of Holies where God resided, where God's presence was. So for them to take that ark, and I think it's very interesting that when he parted the Jordan River, when they were entering into the promised land, it says as the ark went before them and as the presence of God touched the surface of the water, it was parted and they walked over on dry land. You see, folks, to be a people of prayer means that we're talking to God, we're hearing from God, and we're also sharing with God. The Ark of the Covenant going before them is a demonstration of God going first. The Ark led the people. What does it mean? Well, when we follow God the way He instructs us to follow Him, that is when success will follow. Here's the third thing. The third thing that these people needed to do is that they need to be a people who identify with God. A people who identify with God. There's this great part of the story. It's in Joshua chapter 5, where it describes that they're in this place called Gilgal. Don't you just love that? Wouldn't you love to just write on an envelope that you live in Gilgal? You know? This is where they were, though, and an interesting thing happened here. And a lot of times I think these are the parts of the story that sometimes we jump over because of our cultural kind of being uncomfortable with it. But you got to realize that none of this generation was circumcised. Okay? So here at this place in Gilgal, all the males of Israel are circumcised. Now why? Well, they're circumcised because it was a sign of their identity with God. God is saying in effect that before you go into battle, I want every person in the camp and in the community and in the nation to identify with me. Now think about this for a moment, folks, okay? The entire army was circumcised. Wouldn't that have been a great time for the enemy to attack? You know, that very day? I mean, imagine that couple of days, that few days of recovery. Listen, folks, it was all about identifying with God. And God wanted them to go into battle knowing that they were His children and He was their God. So they were circumcised, thereby having the mark that they were children of Abraham. And then the battle begins. And miracle after miracle happens because of the power of God being with this ragamuffin band of an army. God performs miracles by damming up the Jordan River, by delivering Jericho mightily into their hands. And if you've read the story, one of my favorite phrases in all the stories says that Jericho was buttoned up and that no one came out and no one came in. That here you had this fortified city that no one could defeat. Their walls were so high and so thick. But here was God's army camped outside. If you go through the story, you'll see that through a series of battles, Israel defeats the kings in the southern part of the country and subdues all of them. They defeat 14 kings in the northern part of the country. And God says to Joshua, after the battles have been won, that the entire land is now under his control, under the control of the nation, the Hebrew nation. And the really neat thing about this, I got the passage up here for you. It's in Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. Look at what it says. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. You see, folks, a lot of times I think people think that what God had in mind was war, but no, what he had in mind was peace. And what he brought about from these victories was this place where his nation could flourish and people could become familiar with this God of the Hebrews. Now, think about this, folks, because everybody wants to know, why all the bloodshed? I mean, why? Why all of the bloodshed? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. God told Abraham some 600 years before that it was because of the wickedness of the inhabitants of the land that he was taking it from them. It wasn't just that he was giving this land to the Hebrew nation, but that he was also taking it from these exceedingly wicked people, just as he had done in the days of Noah. God saw their wickedness, and all you have to do is just to look in the Bible, and it talks about their detestable practices of idolatry and prostitution, and they used prostitution in worship, and even the sacrificing and the burning of children to God. Deuteronomy 12, 20, Exodus 34, we see these things depicted there. So number one is because of their wickedness that God took the land from these people. But there's even a more important reason, I think, and I think it can be illustrated from another passage in Scripture, from Psalm 105, verse 1, where David says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done." Now, I want to point something out here to you. That phrase right there, "make known among the nations," is used over and over and over again in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially. Over and over and over again. 19 times. 19 times is that a phrase used exactly like that. That I want to make known the name of Yahweh among the nations of the earth. And I think, folks, in that phrase is one of the beautiful reasons why God took the land from the wicked people that inhabited it and gave it to His young nations. Because to Abraham, He said that all of the nations of the world would be blessed. And God wants all people to be in relationship with Him. I think that's one of the beautiful parts of this story. We don't have time to go into it in a lot of depth. But, you know, you have the two spies that went into to Jericho, and these two spies found a young prostitute named Rahab, and she was spared, her and her family, because of how she had helped the spies. Now, it wasn't God's direction to wipe out everybody, but yet this prostitute was spared. I mean, certainly she had been part of the wickedness of this community, but she was spared, and under God's direction, she was spared. And I just think it's an illustration of, you know what? God's not so much about destroying everything as he is about making his name known among the nations. And that goodness and grace can be for all who come to him. So here's the point, folks. You and I need to learn from this story today and understand what God wants to do through us. And if we're going to be successful, we're going to be successful in the same way as they were, by being a people of the book, by being a people of prayer, by being a people who identify with God, who wholly trust in him to use us to make his name known among the nations. So here's what I want to do. I want you to stand with me. Everybody just stand up on your feet. You're going to stand for just a minute, but I want you to stand there and hear this. This right here is what Joshua said to all the people. You know the verse, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As you're standing there this morning, do you know when he said that? A lot of people don't realize that Joshua did not speak those words as a young man. At the beginning of his life, he didn't even speak them when God was leading him in all these victories. He spoke these words just before he died. Just before he died, he got the people together and he said, you know what, I'm about ready to go back to the earth from which I came. And he gives them this wonderful pep talk, much like his predecessor Moses had done. And then at the conclusion of that, and the scriptures seem to indicate, is just before he died, he spoke these words. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, blessing and the curse, spoke it all down for them. And then at the end of his life, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want us today to affirm that with each other and with our God in heaven. Here's the way I want to do it. I want you to respond with the capitalized portions of the words before you. So let's do it. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve
the Lord.
As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
God wants to make his name known in our community. And you know how he does it? He does it through a relationship with us, with his church. And he's inviting us to be strong and courageous as we face this giant vision, this tremendous opportunity. And as we do that, I think that we can gain strength from knowing that God will sustain us and give us all that we need to accomplish just that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we stand before you and before each other this morning, Lord, we recognize that we are in a similar position, Father, as your young nation in this story today. That we are standing before a tremendous opportunity, but also, Lord, an overwhelming challenge. God, it is so easy to retreat, and many have retreated. But Lord, by faith, may we confront. May we confront the challenge before us, knowing that you are with us. The promise, Lord, that you made to Abraham was fulfilled and realized on that day that we read about. But God, your promise is also true for us today. And even though, Lord, we face big problems, big obstacles, may we hear you saying to us over and over and over again to be strong and courageous. God, may we be a people of the book. May we obey your leading, your guidance. Father, may we be a people of prayer who talk to you before a battle and for strength during the battle. And praise you, Lord, in prayer when great battles have been won. God, may we know that your presence goes before us as the ark went before them. And Father, may we know that we are a people who identify with you today. Not because of a mark on our skin or anything like circumcision, but as Paul said, Lord, because we have a circumcision of the heart. So God, as their battle began, they were faithful to you and they won a great victory. And it's our prayer, Lord, that we will say, every day, as Joshua said, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, may it be so with us. May you be known among the nations because of the relationship that you have with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.